Intelligent Transportation Systems Podcast. Hello everyone, welcome to the ITS Podcast, episode 3 for July 2013. I'm Javier Sánchez Medina from the Intelligent Transportation Systems Society. We have a right out of the oven interview with Tsuneo Takahashi for this edition. This interview was recorded by Emily Sobensky and the ITSS president Christoph Stiller at the IEEE Honor Ceremony in San Diego, California, last June 29. We believe you'll appreciate it and it's really interesting. We also have a transportation history mini section about how the ancient sea navigators orientated themselves without any electronic instrumentation. We're starting now. Please have a seat and relax.
This is the news mini section for episode 3, July 2013. There has been a deadline extension to the IEEE Intelligent Transportation Systems Society call for nomination of awards. It has been extended to July 31. The three prestigious IEEE ITS awards to be decided are the Outstanding Research Award, Outstanding Application Award, and Lead Award. They are given annually for ITS researchers, practitioners, and research and development teams. The IEEE ITS Research Award is given for making significant contributions to research in ITS-related fields. The IEEE ITS Outstanding Application Award is earned by those who developed and deployed successful ITS systems or implementation. Finally, the IEEE ITS Lead Award is handed for demonstrating leadership in promoting ITS technologies. If you want to promote a candidate, please email your application to the ITSS Vice President of Membership, Jason Geng. Please visit our website for more information. The ITSS Board of Governors has recently approved the locations of two future conferences, the 2014 and 2015 IEEE Intelligent Vehicles Symposium, that will be held in Michigan and Seoul, Korea, respectively. Finally, the next ITSC 2013 conference is getting closer and closer. The ITS Society flagship conference will be held in The Hague at the beginning of October, and its scientific program is looking very nice. Links to all of these can be found at this podcast website.
Transportation in History. Tsuneo Takahashi, a member of the Intelligent Transportation Systems Society, was just awarded an IEEE medal for his contributions to smart vehicle navigation. Today's navigational equipment is based on the satellite and terrestrial communications plus sensing electronics. For instance, Google's driverless car can drive itself accurately just by using its precise digitized street maps and its positioning systems. But if we think about the navigation challenges 2 millennia ago, they were quite different, and the goals were entirely different as well, since they were focused on safely arriving to the intended destination in a much more unknown world than today's. In ancient sea navigation, the most globally used system was celestial navigation, or the navigation that used the stars as reference beacons. A good example of ancient celestial navigation is the Minoans of Crete. They used to travel to the island of Thera and to Egypt. Both of these trips would have taken more than a day's sail, traveling by night across open water. So the Minoan sailors are thought to use stars as reference, in particular the constellation of Ursa Major, in order to correctly orientate their ships. It seems that the ancient Greeks used celestial navigation quite frequently. For instance, there is that episode of Homer's Odyssey, where Calypso tells Odysseus to keep the bear on his left-hand side as he sails away from her island. Well, but all of these are child's play if we compare them to the modern theories suggesting very early maritime contacts between Asia, Oceania and America, way before the Europeans arrived there. By the mid of the 20th century, researchers changed their approach to these mysteries to a very much pragmatic one, testing with field experiments what could or what could not be done. For For example, in 1947, the Norwegian Thor Heyerdahl developed the Kon-Tiki expedition from South America to Polynesia in a 101-day, 7,000-kilometers journey, using a traditionally built raft to prove his theories with this regard. Another milestone was set by David Lewis, who sailed from Hawaii to Tahiti in 1976 just by using traditional Polynesian navigation know-how. He was trying to prove that that old knowledge was still alive, at least in the Polynesian outlier Taumako. Polynesian navigators employed a whole range of techniques, including the use of the stars, the movement of the ocean currents and wave patterns, the air and sea interference patterns caused by islands and atolls, the flight of birds, the winds, and the weather. And apparently some of these should have been used to reach places like Easter Island or Rapa Nui, where the nearest inhabited land is Pitcairn Island, at a distance of nothing less than 2,075 kilometers. Let's go now to the striking interview of this episode, recorded at the IEEE Honor Ceremony, where the Intelligent Transportation Systems Society member Tsuneo Takahashi just got awarded an IEEE medal in San Diego, California. The sound quality is not the best because it was a little windy, but these are the problems of on-site recordings. So we thank you for your understanding, and we hope you enjoy it, no matter the weather. It's really good stuff.
Hello, I'm Emily Zapensky from the IEEE Intelligent Transportation Systems Society.
And I'm Christoph Diller, president of that society.
We are in San Diego, California with Mr. Tsuneo Takahashi, president of NF Corporation based in Yokohama, Japan. Tonight, Mr. Takahashi is receiving one of IEEE's most coveted and prestigious awards, the IEEE Medal for Environmental and Safety Technologies. He is being recognized for pioneering the development of navigation technology in automobiles. Mr. Takahashi, it's a great pleasure to be with you here today. Thank you so much for agreeing to spend a few moments with us. You have a stellar career that many would envy because you seem to have found your calling very early in your research career. Can you tell us a little about how you became interested in navigation?
Yeah, it's a very, very long time ago, but I was working with the development of navigation system maybe 20 or 30 years until today's. And during that activity, I remember early age of 1970, I was taught the microprocessor technologies. At that time, it was appeared. And a famous professor, Harashima, Fumio Harashima, at that time, he was teaching about that technology, how to apply for every industries. And I was listening that lecture several times, and I really interested how can I apply this microprocessor technologies to the automotives. And those thinking days, there were lots of discussion how automobile can recognize or can identify the location of itself because of the safety issues or high efficiency moving to the destination. So I matched that microprocessor technologies to the navigation system. But at that time, there was some planning of the GPS in the US, GPS technology, but its schedule was changed. And how can I do? How can I get the identification of the location of the automobile? And lots of thinking, and I decided to select some inertial sensors, and based on the advanced microprocessor technologies, I can imagine to create the navigation systems before waiting the realization of the GPS. And using several years, I could successfully accomplish the first stage of navigation systems. At that time, I was so glad because still not yet, no GPS. And at that time, still I was waiting the GPS.
Yeah, it wasn't open yet. Yeah.
But the concept of the system or application or effect of the system is not changed. So I remember at that time of research activity, I was very, very proud for my activities.
Yeah. Well, in the 1970s was right before they really started opening up GPS a little bit later on.
Yeah, later,
and
because
you were doing
some accident of the some space program.
Yes,
It was delayed.
Yes, Well, could you tell us what your many contributions to modern navigation? What are you most proud of? You've had so many.
So, based on the early stage of the applications, lots of research was happen in each automotive companies, in lots of electric company, not only in Japan but also in Europe. So I'm proud of just I put some signal.
Yes.
Okay, everybody starts development of the navigation systems.
So you led them all.
Okay. Mr. Takahashi, you also have been a member of the Intelligent Transportation Systems Society for many years, and of course we are very proud of having a member of us receiving the prestigious award tonight. And of course we hope that the membership in our society has benefited you as much as it has benefited us having you with us. As a researcher myself, I'm of course curious about what are you working on currently and what are you excited about, what new technologies do you foresee for the next future?
I see. In this is in the society of automobile transportation, still there are lots of problems to be solved or improved, such as environmental issues or safety issues or some efficiency of the energy or lots of items. Lots of research activity in the automobile in these days combined with another system, such as a renewable energy system in a society. So it's almost the same subject I need to continue the interesting or continuing the research activities. So for actual example, the summer system, home system, with a renewable energy system are combined with plug-in electric vehicles. So already automotive traffic society is not a system in our transportation, but also systems in society.
Yeah.
It's a large-scale systems itself. I was interested in some environmental safety issues in automotive transportation systems, but in these days, I'm interested to be involved in such kind of environmental or safety issues in the society, including infrastructures.
Yeah.
So right now, I'm still working in such kind of application fields related to the renewable energy systems, controlling the power supply or participation, so-called smart grid systems. And I was working in automotive company for a long time. So when everybody says smart grid systems, I feel not only electric smart grid, but also it's combined traffic systems such as plug-in hybrid systems or pure electric vehicles. And in those systems, based on the renewable energy based on batteries, they need intelligence to be managed, such as ITS, intelligent transport systems. Intelligent transport systems subject might be involved in those kind of energy issues in these days and near future. So I'm still want to keep the research or some company management related with such kind of issues.
This show is slowly growing up in followers episode by episode. Thank you for that. We would really appreciate if you could help us spreading the voice. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook or Google+. You can also retweet us, like us, etc. You can find how to do it at itsp.ccei.com. And if you want to get warned of every new episode as it gets broadcasted, there is a follow button at the right lower corner of our website, where you can introduce your email address. Thank you very much for your help. Let's get back to San Diego.
That is an exciting field that you are looking, that you are working towards. I also want to express my gratitude that you have donated all your the prize money to the ITS Society, and we have agreed that we will use this money to foster young researchers, in particular students and PhD students, and will fund some scholarship with that.
Mr. Takahashi, how about the future? Researchers like yourself generally prefer to work challenge by challenge, but the best ones like yourself do so with a vision in mind. I think you've already expressed what that vision is. Do you see us doing real autonomous driving in our streets during our lifetime? And what do you think the obstacle ahead is for us to come to that, where there'll be all these automobiles in the street driving by themselves?
Yeah. Really, I was also involved in the development of the autonomous driving systems or traffic systems, and I really understand there are still lots of technical subject or issues to be solved. But already every 10 years was passing, and every additional technology are accumulated. Yeah. So I really believe future as such kind of a very, very intelligent, autonomous traffic system should be exist, should be appears. It might be a step by step. So first stage is very soon, I believe. For example, within a limited area, such as a rural area or some desert area or some limited urban areas.
So we don't have to watch when we step off the curb, huh? Mm-hmm. When cars won't run into us.
But still, the main manager is the human itself.
Yes,
so even autonomous vehicle, we cannot sleep.
Final question for Mr. Takahashi, Crystal.
I just wanted to congratulate you, Tsuneo Takahashi, for the prize on behalf of the Intelligent Transportation Systems community and our society, and thank you for giving us your time today.
Okay. Thank you very much, Professor Stiller, and thank you very much, Mr. Takahashi. That's it for now, and thanks to all of our listeners. Please let us know how we're doing and what you'd like to hear podcasted. This is Emily Sopensky from the 2013 IEEE Honors Ceremony at San Diego, California, signing off.
Thank you so much, Mr. Takahashi, and thanks also to Emily Sopensky and Professor Stiller. And that was all for this episode. Please visit our website in itsp.ccei.com. We are keen on reading your comments for this episode or others. Of course, you can also feedback us with improvement ideas, possible interviewees, topics to be included, etc. This podcast is sponsored by the IEEE Intelligent Transportation Systems Society, website designed and managed by the Innovation Center for the Information Society at the University of Las Palmas de Gran Canaria in Spain. Soundtrack developed by Rubicon. We'll be back soon bringing you again the cutting edge of science at the Intelligent Transportation Systems podcast. Thanks for listening, and drive safe.